Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big issues, big guests. Welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. We know about President Trump as the rock star breakout of 2016. And I know a lot of people say they saw it coming. They all saw this coming. Come on. It is amazing what's happened there. But the other superstar, if you will, that broke out, except for the Democrat Party chieftains, was Bernie Sanders. Summer Burn. Who would have thought that Bernie Sanders would break out? You know, maybe he would do okay. He needed a challenge from the establishment, but it was scorching that summer. Our guest, Jeff Weaver, is part of the Brain Trust, or the brain behind Bernie, or the strategist, if you will. His new book, How Bernie Won. Anyone who wants to know what really went on behind the scenes of our campaign has got to read this book. That's what Bernie says. All right, Jeff Weaver is with us on the Spring Dance Hot Tubs Hotline. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Philadelphia, and thanks for a really insightful book at the second star of 2016.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, in terms of Mr. Trump, he's a fading star. And in 2020, he'll be heading into supernova state.
All right. Well, let me ask you on that note, though, since you were one of the guys that crafted a guy who broke out in certainly an unconventional way, there's no doubt, an authentic, unconventional way. What's, you just said Trump blowing up and all, what's his greatest strength? I mean, even Bernie, Jeff, has said the summit so far, and that shows wisdom on the part of you guys versus Pelosi and the others who are just trying to attack him on anything. The summit so far has been a good thing. We'll see what happens. What's his strength, Trump, if you were in opposition to him, if you, Bernie, one-on-one with him?
Well, look, he has an amazing talent for convincing people that he is going to stand up and fight for them. Well, at the same time, he is actually doing the bidding of the rich and the powerful. I mean, you know, this is a guy who said he would drain the swamp. And his administration is full of the most richest and most greedy corporate insiders that we've ever seen in this country. And, you know, he's a flim-flam guy, a good pitch man. That's what he's good at.
Is that what you liken it to? Because you don't see the ability that's almost extraordinary. So you're saying people are just dope so that they don't see through this?
Oh, no, it's not about people being dopes. You know, I am never one that says voters, you know, you get some of these people, you know, voters don't know what they're doing or voters are stupid. I am not in that category. In a democracy, the voters are always right, frankly. They want to change in 2016. I don't think they really wanted the kind of change that they ended up with. And they didn't get this is not the change that Trump had promised them. He promised people he was not going to go after their health care, and he tried to take their health care away. He promised he was going to pass a tax bill that didn't benefit the wealthy, and it primarily benefits the wealthy. So, you know, on issue after issue, people are not getting what they were promised by this administration.
All right, so that would be the tactic. Let me talk to you about Bernie a little bit then. Your issue, and here it crops up again, Jeff, seems to me, I mean, just as somebody inside this, it would have been more thrilling in some ways to see Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump, particularly in states like Michigan and all this. I was happier in some ways. It was Hillary Clinton, because I did think ultimately the baggage and the just nothing there that people wanted would implode. But the DNC, again, as I understand it, has passed this rule that says that your guy can't participate if he doesn't identify as a Democrat, right?
Well, look, there are some elements in the party establishment who are out of touch with the base of the party, frankly, who like every now and then to take a slap at Bernie Sanders because, you know, they're afraid of what he represents. And what he represents is the grassroots of the Democratic Party finally regaining control and creating a party that is completely on the side of working class people in this country, discriminating to some people who have more of a country club mentality, frankly.
Okay. Now, in an issue where Trump, at least as a negotiating strategy, Jeff, I would assume, and Bernie agree, is the tariff issue, right? Would Bernie Sanders, in a place like Michigan, all to be strong in that, would he be a tariff guy?
Well, look, Bernie Sanders has since the 1990s, when Bill Clinton and others were pushing these disastrous trade deals, been critical of how they were implemented. I'm not sure that the current strategy of going after the Canadians is really the most effective way to deal with this particular issue. So I think in some ways the critique is similar. I think that the tactics and the strategy and what one would want on the back end would be different between Trump and Sanders.
Okay. Let's pivot to your book for a minute. You've been gracious talking about these other things, and I appreciate it. How Bernie won.
Happy to do it.
Give me the biggest moment. I don't know. You're a very savvy guy. I've seen you in 100 interviews, and I think I know stuff too. And I didn't see Donald Trump early on. I'm not one of those guys that's going to claim that. You've been with Bernie since the back roads of Vermont. Was there a moment when you saw it was taking off, or did you think this always was going to take off? Because I wouldn't have bet on it, Jeff. I mean, it was out of nowhere.
Well, as I write in the book, I might have been the one who was most convinced that it had the potential to take off. And that's because I've been with the senator, since the mid-1980s. And I saw early on, even when he was not doing well statewide in Vermont, that he really did well with people who Democrats often don't do well with, rural people, working class people. And he had a real connection with folks because whether you agreed with him on the substance of what he was saying or not, you believed that he believed it and that he was an honest, articulating that vision. And that means, frankly, a lot to people. And we see it throughout politics on both sides, frankly. When they polled in 2004, more people agreed with John Kerry on the issues, but if they were like, who are you going to vote for? Who do you want to have a beer with? People said, George W. Bush, right? And he wins the election. And so it matters to folks that you are not living out of polls and salts and what have you, that you are talking about what you really believe.
Okay. Now, the grand plan recently coming out, and I guess if Bernie runs again, it would be on this. And I don't think he's too old. He seems to be as cantankerous as ever to do that.
God.
Yes, is the government job type of thing. And, Jeff, I got to ask you, though, you really think that America is going to embrace in that? You don't get the antagonism to anything government run. It's almost an article of faith with people. They just don't believe in it.
Yeah, well, and I understand why people are skeptical. When you've had Republicans in there, the government has been used to further enrich those who already have so much.
I'm talking about competency, Jeff Weaver. Jeff, that's what I'm talking about.
But look at this. Republicans want to put tons and tons of money into the military, right? The military is obviously competent, or maybe you think it's not, but I think it is. The government does a lot of things, right? The Social Security program is most successful. Anti-program in American history, that works pretty well. Medicare works pretty well. It's the largest government insurance program in the country. So the government does a lot of things well when it wants to do things well, frankly.
I commend you. It's a big idea. Throwing that in there, you need big ideas to win the presidency. We know that, without a doubt. Let me talk to you.
We put people on the moon. The government put people on the moon.
Right. Well,
the national highway system, we built the Panama Canal. We've done a lot of things, which at the time were thought to be, almost impossible. And we were able to do it. And the government did it.
And you think it's just what the Republicans have been skillful at running down the government versus people have seen how that's changed, that they're not good stewards of our money.
Well, I think the Republicans are not good stewards of our money. And, the truth of the matter is that since the 90s, if you read my book, I'm very critical of Bill Clinton in that book on policy issues. Since the 1990s, there's been growing skepticism among working class people that Democrats are on their side.
Okay, now let me interrupt and bring that up, though, too. The skepticism with Bernie, and I have to admit, I've read about a quarter of your book. And I know this, I get a sense, Jeff, from you guys, and I can understand why Bernie can't connect with black voters. I buy into that during the campaign a little bit. I might be off, though. Tell me why you think that's kind of a myth.
Yeah. I know, look, it was a myth that was created, during a campaign, people try to create narratives that benefit their campaign. There's been a lot of research on this, Dom. Bernie won a millennial voters of all races. By the time we get to the Michigan primary, which is very relatively early in the process, we're toe-to-toe with Secretary Clinton with black voters under 40. By the time we get to Pennsylvania, which is, more near the end of the process, we're very close to Secretary Clinton with African-American voters. It took a lot longer for that community to connect with Bernie and for Bernie to connect with them, I think, just because of lack of familiarity. But if you look at recent polls that have been out there, Bernie is most popular. He's the most popular active politician in America, and he is most popular in the African-American community.
Okay, parting area for you. Wouldn't it be better if Nancy Pelosi retires after the midterms for you guys?
No, look, I know you guys like to beat up on Nancy Pelosi. Everybody's got their lightning rods on both sides. I don't know her, super well personally, but, Nancy Pelosi is, a skilled legislator. She's not your cup of tea, I get it. But, in this country, we have a very different politics in different parts of the country. She's very popular with her constituents. There's no reason why she shouldn't be reelected along with anybody else whose constituents want to send them to Washington.
That was nicely done, Jeff. The book, yeah. How Bernie Won, there is a lot of insight to the phenomena of this. Good luck with that, Jeff, and good luck in the coming campaigns.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Jeff Weaver on the Spring Dance Hot Tub Hotline here on Talk Radio 1210 with Dom. 855-839-1210. That will get you on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Just push #1210 and you're in. All right. Now, a story that hits close to home, since Bill still is, what is that ad? The gig economy or something. He's doing his Uber thing. We have a story out of New York. And I heard some people later in the show calling Chris today about this. And I'm stunned to hear some of the defense of this cab driver, who I believe is Muslim. He's at least Egyptian, but I think he is. In New York City, who has two lesbian women get into his vehicle as an Uber driver. He sees them share a kiss. Who knows how long or whatever, my God. And we have the tape because they take out their phone and they're taping this guy, kicking him out of the vehicle. Now, New York City has suspended his driver's license. I think that's in relation to being an Uber driver. Uber is investigating. Okay. Uber has blocked his access to the driving app, so he can't drive. I don't know why New York City, though, would take away his driver's license. Bill, do you know?
What always comes down to is state and local laws in Uber. Obviously, when Uber was first coming out in California and San Fran, right. And then it spread it east, mm-hmm. It kind of developed that, what do we do here with this that we've never seen before? So each state is different, in terms of local laws.
Well, I got a reason. Maybe they're taking it out on them because they think this is such a violation.
Maybe, because I feel like getting,
I don't support that then.
Yeah, because I feel like getting rid of your entire driving ability.
Yeah, that's overkill.
I totally understand, okay, you can't drive for Uber anymore. You're discriminating,
right.
Stuff like that.
Exactly.
But on an individual basis, driving is the most individual thing that you can never do. One of the most individuality things you can do in this country. So it's just what do you do with someone like this?
Well, you know how I feel about that.
Right.
That's right.
And it's like, that's why I said it.
Well, yesterday, Ro had to pick me up. We were going to get a Father's Day present. And she said, we're in a hurry. I'll mm-hmm. pull up and you won't drive.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
And I said, I don't care how big of a hurry we're in. I'll be driving. I'll drive my own car.
Yeah.
And then coming out, she said, yeah, I'm tired now. Would you mind driving home? Her car, of course. But we're researching why they took away the license in this. And Uber, does Uber give you a non-discriminatory policy? Do they give you a list of things to...
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, read these terms in agreement.
Right.
And then you just accept it. I've never... It's one of those things, you see it, you kind of, basic knowledge, don't discriminate against skin, sex.
What do they say if two people are making out in the back of your vehicle?
That's actually an interesting question. I think, like, they, my person, I've never dealt with this, but if I had it, if it was impending my ability to drive, because sometimes that thing can happen, I would say something.
Well,
but
let's be crass. These are attractive women doing this in the back. Is that impeding your ability to drive?
No, it's one of those things. Like, you have to be doing something pretty crass for me to say, hey, can you knock it off? I'm trying to drive here and get us to our destination safely.
You've never had to say that.
No, I've never had to. I have had to tell a woman. The only thing I've had to tell a woman is when she got into my car, she was like, do you mind if I smoke a cigarette? And I was like, yeah, I do mind. There's other passengers.
I would too. Yeah, I would too on that one. Yes. So what did she do?
She just said,
suppose they just light up. What do you do?
Oh, I'll tell them, can you please put it out and stuff like that. It's difficult with vaping.
What's the vaping rule?
In my car, it's kind of like, all right. And unless my car, one, they 99% of the time, they'll open up the window.
Right.
To be a little bit more courteous in that regard. But like if they close the window and then I'm in just a cloud of vape cloud, then yeah, I go back to that rule. My ability to drive is being impended, so I need you to stop. Otherwise, we'll have to cancel the trip and all that stuff.
Coming up, yeah, don't let Lenny Dykstra get into your Uber either.
Apparently, he's being accused of kidnapping. He was kidnapped by the Uber driver. Lenny Dykstra is a fraud. Like, he's a nut.
Coming up, we'll tell you, we're going to play what they said in New York, the two women, and a little bit from their iPhone. Are there people out there that don't get it? If these two lesbian women, I think everybody agrees, just had a kiss, should the driver have the right to say, it's my vehicle, I'm kicking you out? He also says, by the way, it's illegal. What? Does the guy think he's back in Egypt? Phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.